Blog Talk Radio.
Of the BAM's Apocalypse are going to be out this evening with Bama Bird still ailing, and our friend Carrie Clark. If you're the praying type, definitely send one up for CC Bama tonight, because Carrie is also dealing with some medical issues just like Bird. So we are banged up here at BAM's Radio.
We look like the team at this point.
But yeah, at this point, if you were going to take a week off from the show, I think this would probably be the week to choose, because I have an inkling, a suspicion, call it a gut feeling, that the butt hurt will be mighty strong tonight. And I will do my best to keep it in check. Thomas, I know that you will do your best to keep it in check. Now, as for the callers, if you feel like you've just got something that you've got to get off your chest, if you haven't had an appropriate venue to vent in, if you can't just really spout off at work around your boss or your friends, or maybe at church or in another environment, let us be the receptacle for your vitriol tonight. Just call BAM's Radio and get it off your chest. Just let it all out. It won't be anything that we haven't read on the message boards already, I'm sure, because, man, it has been brutal. We have some downright stupid fans in our fan base, Thomas. That's not news to you, but it's always sad to me to have it shoved in your face after a loss like that one, which just anecdotally, I will share with you my story of how Blip, almost as a result of the Texas A&M game, almost wound up in jail.
This sounds excellent.
Yeah. You're probably listening going, oh boy. When you're in an airport, the TSA doesn't much care what fan base you are from, or who you pull for, or what level of passion you bring to the table. I was on a business trip. I was on my way home. I was in an airport when the game started, and had to board a flight as A&M scored to go up 20-0. So I am, as you might imagine, right there with the remainder of the fan base in a supremely shitty mood. I mean, if I had been at home in my house, there may have been domestic problems, because I was in such a foul mood. And, of course, we get on the plane, and they tell everybody, you've got to shut your phones off, and we're sitting there following the score on our phones or on the Wi-Fi that we could pick up. They say, shut everything off. We're about to take off. We've got to close the door. So I shut my phone down, and I'm in a rotten mood, along with all the other Bama fans on their way back to Birmingham on that flight. And some booger eater turns around and says, "War Eagle," at me.
Oh, man. Really?
Can you imagine me already on the brink of, like, Hulk smash. Like, Bruce Banner just went right out the door. I ripped my shirt in half right there, stood up in the chair, leaned over, and this guy was probably three rows ahead of me. I leaned over into the row in front of me and was reaching for him. And I said, and this is the first and the last time I will drop the F-bomb on the show. So, sensitive listeners, cover your ears now. I leaned over, I said, motherfucker, if you say War Eagle one more time, I will throw your ass off of this plane at 10,000 feet. And everybody around me went stone silent because they knew I wasn't kidding.
That's awesome.
So the guy sitting next to me gets up and moves, changes seats because he's afraid of the crazy man that's an Alabama fan. The Auburn fan turns ghost white, sits down, turns around, and shuts the hell up. And I spent the rest of the flight with my arms folded, daring somebody to say something. Obviously, my night didn't end any better when I got off the plane just in time to catch Eli Gold relay the last 7 minutes of the game. So I got off the plane and checked the score, and I thought, we got this. No problem. Bama's been in, you know, backed into a corner before. We know how to deal with adversity. Plus, we got the 12th man. We're at home, right? The crowd is going to lift the team up and see us through, and God damn it.
Well,
you know that, especially when you're listening on the radio, you could hear before Eli made the call with the Kenny Bell catch down to the 7 yard line, you could hear it. You knew that something huge had happened. And then Eli's great call. I love Eli Gold. I'm an Eli apologist. And again, you thought, minute and a half left in the ball game. Bama first and goal on the 7. Hell, this is, we got this. This is, we're there, right? It's done. Put a nail in it. So here we are, Wednesday after, and so we've had all day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday to recover. And I don't know that my heart is still back to where it needs to be. That game wounded me almost, not as bad, but almost as bad as the 2010 Iron Bowl.
Well, I'm good friends with some folks that go to Texas A&M Vet School, and the tweets and the text messages were flying back and forth, and when A.J. McCarron went to throw on first down, I was just like, oh, no. And the oh, no went from oh no, to I just have to turn the television off before my heart explodes. But I can't say I'm wounded as bad as the 2010 Iron Bowl. The big thing that I thought, even looking at the stretch that Alabama has just gone through, is it's always that third game.
Yep.
I mean, look at it in 2010. Alabama sneaks past Arkansas, comes home, and annihilates a pretty good Florida team, and then just lays an egg to South Carolina. So it doesn't hurt me as much. It will stink if Alabama doesn't get a shot at the national title. But at the same time, I would not be terribly upset with an SEC championship and a Sugar Bowl bid. Now, the projection of Alabama versus Clemson is a sick joke. That I would watch that for about two quarters, and Alabama would be up by 30. But, you know, aside from that matchup as it stands, I could live with the Sugar Bowl if I had to. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the whole statement I just made about three games in a row against ranked teams, guess who Oregon plays over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah. No,
three ranked teams.
You're exactly right. And that everybody, exactly what happens to us – 3 games ago is where Oregon is right now, which is they're amongst the media and I think amongst the vast majority of the college football community. Alabama was made out to be invincible. Alabama was perceived to be world beaters. Nobody's got a shot. They're going to sleepwalk their way to the national championship game where maybe Oregon will put up a fight. And I am not convinced that our boys didn't start to buy into some of that. That sense that we are world beaters, that we were invincible, that nobody, you know, this is the best Alabama team has fielded in a decade. I think Oregon is going through that right now, where the media is now saying, well, Oregon, nobody's, you know, look at how mortal Alabama looked against Texas A&M. You know, Oregon would curb stomp Bama right now. I think that's the consensus that you're getting. And so Oregon is now being made out to be world beaters. And I got news for you. If you do a little bit of research on that Oregon team and look at the injuries and where the injuries are, and not only, especially on the front seven and the backups, and the, you know, the backups are dinged up. Some of the starters are dinged up. They're starting some freshmen in some key positions. We may see Oregon come out and take care of business this weekend, struggle a little bit the weekend after that, and then slip up and get beat if they continue to get banged up. And if they buy into that, we're world beaters and can't get beat. But I will say that my sense of our situation is that Oregon is probably the least likely of the three to lose going down the stretch, because I think that Baylor has a legitimate shot of beating K-State, and I think Texas has a better than legitimate shot. I won't be surprised at all to see Texas win by double digits against K-State. I know a lot of people have drank the Kool-Aid now. You know, they're 10 wins into the season, and people going, yeah, K-State's legitimate. This team is for real. I think that Texas is really starting to hit their stride and play good ball, and I think that Texas is going to get them.
I think, you know, if we want to discuss undefeated, the Notre Dame-USC game is very interesting, because if there's one thing that's always been harped on for Notre Dame is that their secondary is the weak point of a very good Notre Dame defense. Well, all USC does is pass the ball extraordinarily effectively, and that extraordinarily effective pass sets up a very good running game.
Yeah.
I think that USC could outshoot Notre Dame in a shootout. Talking about Oregon, playing three ranked teams in a row is difficult. Oregon has had some injuries, and if you look at their schedule, they haven't played a power, we're going to line up and just punch you in the mouth and punch you in the mouth and punch you in the mouth, and when you're spitting teeth, we're going to punch you in the mouth again type ball game. Their closest game was USC, and USC, you can almost undeniably say, is much more a finesse as opposed to a power team. K-State, it would take a Texas team playing up to its talent level, playing its best game of the year, which if Texas is going to be playing spoiler to K-State, it's not going to be really hard to get that team up and firing. I mean, it's a really bad storm. I love Bill Snyder, but there is a lot of football to be played. Now, touching back on Alabama still has to get by Georgia, and even though Georgia is extraordinarily inconsistent, they have the talent, they have the NFL pedigree to make the game interesting in Atlanta. But again, I'll say it again, lots of football left to be played. Alabama is not at all out of it. The computers and the polls say that Alabama is the best one-loss team, and you kind of need to take that from the weekend if you want to put a positive spin on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anybody that dwells on the A&M game is a masochist. I applaud the team's guts for coming back the way they did. There's certainly – and I will also say this. Having been on an airplane and having been away from my cell phone and my iPad and the message boards and Facebook, I really formulated an opinion of the game in a vacuum. I didn't have any kind of influence pushing me one way or the other as far as analysis or placing blame, anything like that. And what I came away with, I have seen repeatedly in the echo chamber of the message boards, which was I walked away from that game and went, I'm putting that one on Nussmeier. You know, I really, and I was curious to hear y'all's thoughts on, am I crazy for thinking this, or do we win that game with Jim McElwain? Because honestly, I think we win that game by 14 points with Jim McElwain at the helm.
I wouldn't go 14 points. A point was made. I think Gary Danielson mentioned it on Feinbaum. And
he sure did. I mean, almost to the word. He said,
yeah.
Gary said the same thing. He said, this is the first game Bama's missed, Jim.
So I think that Nussmeier might have been in a little over his head, but you're not going to go from a very good offensive coordinator to a guy who hasn't called plays before and not have some hiccups. So is it Nussmeier's fault? Sort of. But at the same time, you could say it's Kirby Smart's and Nick Saban's fault for not or the player's fault for not being emotionally aggressive until they're down 20-0, to quote Nick Saban. So, I can't throw it all on Nussmeier. I think the team played very well to almost come back from 20 down in the face of a fumble that killed momentum.
Yeah.
And a Texas A&M secondary that hitherto had been miserable and just sat on everything short and middle.
Yeah.
I mean, there was very little available except for, like, the Eddie Lacy checkdown. Otherwise, it was throw deep. Now, on the deep passes, A.J. McCarron puts a little less air under him, and those are touchdowns. But at the same time, I'm not going to bash somebody for not being able to throw a totally accurate 50-yard bomb. There are not many people in the country at any level of football that can do that on a consistent basis.
No. And it was pointed out to me. I didn't realize until I sat down and really evaluated parallels. Somebody said to me, you realize that the position that obviously we would rather be undefeated right now and control our own destiny. But the position that we are in right now, we have a higher percentage chance of making it into the championship game than we did this time last year.
That doesn't surprise me. Last year, you're talking about
we needed Boise State to lose. We needed Okie State to lose. I think there were about five teams. We needed Oklahoma to lose. Which they did. You know, they completely shit the bed against Baylor. There were like five teams we needed to lose in order for things to really line up, and they did. You know, at least this year, there will be at the end of the season, if the two teams ahead of us lose, there will be no doubt. There will be no wiggle room. We're not going to be sitting there biting our fingernails at the selection show to see, you know, does another one-loss team jump ahead of us? Because if we beat the number five team in the country, Georgia, in the championship game, that's it, we're in.
Right. You're absolutely correct. I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's what I'm going to sound like. Still a lot of football left to be played, and every team ahead of Alabama has some form of a test game ahead of them where they will have to deal with some level of adversity that they haven't had to deal with before. The weakest point of that is K-State, but Notre Dame hasn't seen a Marquise Lee and Robert Woods and Matt Barkley. And Oregon is just – Oregon's got a gauntlet to get through. If Oregon gets that, yeah. I mean, that's tip of the cap.
Well, I like our chances. I really do. I think now the fact that Texas and the Texas K-State game is at K-State. So I worry a little bit about that. But I tell you what, let's do. because we've got plenty of show left, plenty of time to talk about it. And because it is Thomas and I tonight, I think Legend's coming on at 9. We are going to open the phone lines early for you guys. So the phone number is 714-510-3707. If you want to give us a call, like I said, vent, get it off your chest. We're reins off tonight. If you want to just really let it fly with the colorful language, we're gonna let it slide a little bit tonight in light of the loss. So we're gonna take a quick break. We're going to we'll run a couple of commercials real quick. We'll take a quick break and be right back, and we'll talk about not only the scenarios for Bama to get in, but also the most palatable second choices. And I've got some interesting thoughts there.
So, what makes BAM's tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tents for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy, or call 251-247-1169 to order.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. Thomas Watts and Blip tonight, rocking the microphones. Give us a call. Vent about A&M. Let's talk scenarios for Bama to get in. As mentioned, Thomas, you brought up the current forecasts, where if everything were to stay as is, everybody stays the course, everybody wins out, that would put Bama likely in the Sugar Bowl against Clemson. And I am 110% with you. The thought of playing Clemson in New Orleans does not give me wood. And the alternative right now, some are saying that outside looking in, that this, is it Louisiana Lafayette or who's the Louisiana Tech? There's some, you know, Sun Belt or WAC school that they're
La
saying.
Tech.
La Tech. Okay, so saying La Tech may get into the Sugar Bowl and play. That doesn't give me wood either. I tell you what does, though. Let's say Oregon and K-State went out and end up playing one another for the championship game. Like you, Thomas, you got to be okay with that. You know what? They earned their spot. Good for them. The rest of the country can get this SEC hate out of their system. Let somebody else have a turn. I would, if that is the case, I would love to see Notre Dame lose one of their last games and have Bama get Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. That's a game that, as far as a booby prize, you know, if there's a consolation prize for Bama fans, I think most of us could get excited about Notre Dame in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. Not quite as shiny as playing for the Crystal Ball, but if we're not going to get that chance, I would love to beat the snot out of Notre Dame, and we would. I think we would monkey stomp Notre Dame.
Well, I agree. If for that scenario to work, Notre Dame would have to lose. With Notre Dame sitting at 3 in the BCS, okay, assuming Oregon moves up to 1, goes undefeated, moves up to 1,
yeah,
then the Rose Bowl would be the first, like, the first guy to select new.
No question.
Yeah, and they would take Notre Dame hands down.
No question. They wouldn't even bat an eye.
Yeah, Notre Dame would then beat the heck out of, I don't even know who's going to win the Big Ten right now because everybody is so universally bad.
Yeah.
A 4-6, 5-something, some barely 500 Indiana team had a shot at a division crown because of Penn State and Ohio State. So that should tell you the state of the divisions in the Big Ten.
I think it'd be Michigan State.
Oh my gosh, really? That would be
and talk about miserable. A snoozer. And talk about a snoozer for Notre Dame fans. You know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They've already played that. It's a rematch. We can't have a rematch in bowls. What are you talking about, Flip? Jeez.
Oh Lord, have mercy. But that as a second tier, you know, if we don't get in, that would be fantastic. The other one that really would not hurt my feelings is, boy, I would love a shot at Florida State.
Yeah, but Florida State is tied to the Orange Bowl because they're 99% sure going to win the ACC.
Yeah, but what if they don't?
I don't know if...
There's a chance.
There is a chance, but that's a real stretch because they would actually have a worse record than Clemson. Well, they'd have an equal or worse record than Clemson, depending on how Clemson plays against South Carolina and FSU plays against Florida. Ask me if we can get either of those teams after the last week of the season, because then you'll know.
Right. But there, I think there are Bama fans take solace in the fact that there are some compelling matchups to be had. They are right now, they are long shots, but I sure would be, I would get up for Bama, Florida State. I would get up for Bama, Notre Dame. You know, there, outside of those two, I don't know that there are a lot of teams that really excite me as far as potential matchups in a bowl game. I think we would beat Clemson by 3 touchdowns.
I agree. I like Taj Boyd. I like the skill positions. But if Clemson's defense is going to give up as many points, as many yards as it did to FSU, Alabama is a little bit better, if you ask me, offensively, just because it's a balanced group, and Alabama will have had 40 days to heal up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't understand the Clemson projection just because they still have a big game with South Carolina, and even though South Carolina is Lattimore-less, they still have Jadeveon Clowney, and they still have a decent team. I don't think they're top tier in the SEC. I think I have them at 5th or 6th in the power ranking I do every week, but Clemson is feasting off of a down ACC. So,
yeah, again.
So, it's you know, we could talk about various scenarios until we're blue in the face, but Alabama will get a fun match.
I thought the ACC was going to have a stronger year. You know, we knew FSU was going to be pretty quality. But a lot of people looked at Virginia Tech's schedule and went, wow, Virginia Tech might, you know, they may slip in there and get into the conversation. They've been a disaster this season. Miami has been down. They're soft this year. I mean, the ACC, let's face it, has disappointed. Really, the top two teams have somewhat lived up to expectations. After that, the conference doesn't do anything for me. Let's bounce real quick. Let's do the blip bounce around the Bama blogs and see what the blog sites are talking about on this Wednesday, the 14th of November. Bama Hammer has got a feature about Barrett Jones. It said Alabama football, Barrett Jones continues to collect honors and talks about his chance to possibly repeat as the Outland Trophy winner. And then looking at Bandit Ref talking about sports the Tim Brando way. And then this is funny, Tony Orlando, your friend and mine, who I think Tony is insanely funny. Tony has an article that's titled Texas A&M Fan Melts Down Starts Airport Fight. Not that that resonates with me at all, but
irony.
Pretty funny. Over to Kerry Clark's site, Bama Mag, BamaMag.com has a top headline, Johnny Unitas. McCarron finalist for Johnny Unitas Award. I don't see him winning it. I think there are other quarterbacks that are playing better than McCarron right now and are probably a shoe-in to win that award, especially given that they just don't give the Heisman to freshmen. So the Unitas Award may go to Mr. Manziel after the performance this past Saturday. So that's over at Bama Mag, and then couple of sub articles talking about a practice report from the 14th, talking about the big 2014 offensive lineman Clapp and his visit, and then an article about Saban not in position to make comparisons. So that's BamaMag.com. Jumping over to Bama Online to Alabama.247sports.com. The top article talking about five-star Laramie Tunsil and his visit to Alabama. And I want to read a little bit from that article because that's a big one. There's going to be a very clear need for Alabama on the offensive line next year. I think we've got plenty of talent on campus. And if we didn't sign another offensive lineman in this upcoming class, we'd be okay. But you would worry all season about depth, and there's going to be an opportunity if we were to sign an Andre Smith type of talent for a true freshman to come in and possibly compete and contribute. And Laramie Tunsil, out of all the offensive tackle prospects coming out of high school, Tunsil is the kid. He's the one that is the Andre Smith type of talent, and he has become very close with Derrick Henry, of course, the five-star commitment out of ULEE. And just a couple of things. He said the atmosphere was live. I'd been there before for a camp. I'd never been to a game. It was very exciting. Then goes on to talk about his relationship with Coach Pruitt, Coach Stoutland. He said, I was there with Derek, so he showed me everything. And then asked if Derrick Henry was pushing him hard to Alabama. Tunsil responded bluntly, oh, yeah. He has a final two. He's really removed the clutter from a recruiting standpoint. Tunsil's down to a top two of Georgia and Alabama. So they followed up the question of, is Derrick Henry pushing you hard to Alabama? He says, oh, yeah. Next question after that, does Georgia have anybody of the same kind pulling you to play in Athens? And he said, not really, but John Theus maybe. So those responses, I will read between the lines and think maybe that we have pulled ahead. Now, I think he's playing the game. I think he's saying all the right things because he said, do you have a leader as far as you've got Florida State, Alabama, Georgia? Do you have a leader? He said, no, it's too even. But I think they all say that. I think he's already made up his mind to play at Alabama. And at this point, he's just biding his time because he wants to make a big splash on National Signing Day and have some excitement surrounding his announcement. But my feeling on this kid is that he's going to play for the good guys. And a really nice article from Thomas Goldkamp over at Bama Online detailing the visit.
Well, I believe I read this. Tunsil's going to take an official visit to Alabama in January after Derrick Henry has enrolled, and Henry is going to be his student host.
Uh-huh.
You're saying all the right things, Blip, but I really want to highlight that. Derrick Henry will have been on campus at Alabama maybe 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks. and everything's going to be fresh and new. You know, it's going to be great to go to Bryant Hall and eat lunch and go to class at blah, 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 see the pretty co-eds. And he's going to be hitting Laramie Tunsil with both barrels. So pretty good news, if you ask me.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Huge news. Bama Online also has a nice article up today. Today was the beginning of the early signing period for basketball, and we did get commitments and ink on paper from the big post duo for this upcoming class, Jimmy Taylor and Shannon Hale, both signing with the Tide. Huge gets for Anthony Grant, and really fills a critical need for this team. As far as big bodies, athletic big men, Jimmy Taylor, one of the top centers in America. If I recall correctly, whose cousin is Jimmy?
I honestly am not sure.
Brain farting. It's a former Alabama player. Somebody in the chat room can maybe help me out. Doggone it. Anyway, big signing for Bama Hoops, and of course, if you just can't wait to get your Bama fix until Saturday when we beat the snot out of Western Carolina, tomorrow night we've got a fairly marquee matchup, at least this early in the season. Alabama is going to face up against Oregon State in Madison Square Garden in one of these, you know, preseason tournaments that we won the first two games. Bama currently sits at 2-0, and that first game, I don't know if you had a chance to watch, Thomas, but that was a pretty decent San Jose State. There we go. I'm picturing the banana slugs, but we're not the banana slugs. I'm all confused. I've been in the pain.
San Jose State is the Spartans, I think.
No, not the Spartans. The Jayhawks, maybe?
I'm looking.
Oh, Lord. I'm a mess on the basketball. But they were a tournament team last year. And for a small, sort of no-name school, pretty quality club, Bama struggled early. And there was a point where I called Bama Bird and you know, again, I was on a business trip. I'm sitting in a hotel room in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I said to Bert, I said, we're getting beat by 16 by you know, Sisters of the Poor. Who the hell are these guys? Pretty quality opponent and a nice rally from the Crimson Tide to come back and win on a very clutch shot from Trevor Lacey as time expired. A dagger of a three when the clock went to zero to give us the win. Quality minutes from T. Relly. I thought Relliford played well. We had a couple of guys banged up who sat that game out who are now back. I think we're back to full strength. Seeing an interesting rotation between Musa Gay, Carl Engstrom. Devontae Pollard is playing a hybrid 3-4, so he's playing some minutes underneath as a big, and then kicking out to the wing, and then Nick Jacobs. So we're still trying to find the right pattern as far as rotating the guys in and out, but this Irwin Dudley, thank you, Irwin Dudley. Jimmy Taylor is Irwin Dudley's cousin. This Oregon State team is a good one. They returned six of their seven primary scorers from last year's team. They've got a point guard that can absolutely drain it. So this will be a big challenge for Alabama early in the season. And Madison Square Garden, you know, these preseason tournaments are always where it's nationally televised. We're going to be on ESPN again. Fairly big spotlight game to test our mettle. And I'm hopeful that with these first two games out of the way, that we've got a little bit of the chemistry issues ironed out. We're starting to see, at least I thought we were starting to see some of the patterns emerge as far as what to expect later in the season. And I think that we can say one thing with confidence. And that's Anthony Grant is not afraid to mix it up and play to go small with this team. I thought that we would see a lot of Moussagay or Engstrom as the five, and then Jacobs or Pollard as the four, and pretty much rotate those two out in pairs. We're not seeing that. You know, I think that he's going to have Relaford at the point, Lacy at the two, Cooper at the 2B, because he's not really playing a three, Randolph. You know, so we'll play four guards at times. Be very interesting to see. And then the winner of the game will get the winner of the and I should pull this up and have it in front of me for the show. The winner of the Purdue and Villanova game. And it seems like we've played Purdue in one of these early season tournaments. The past, like, three of the past 4 years, we've played Purdue.
And Alabama plays Purdue great for about 30 minutes. And yeah. The last 10, they just fall to pieces.
Well, last year we were able to pull it through in the San Juan tournament and played very well against Purdue. This is a better Purdue team than last year. And losing Green and Mitchell is going to have an impact. I mean, this is... To call this anything less than a rebuilding year for Coach Grant is putting the crimson glasses on. They're going to be good. They're going to win some ball games, but they're not going to blow anybody out. I think that they're going to struggle through any quality opponent. We're going to have a hard time finding our feet with. Now, next year, when you bring in Hale and Taylor, and you've got two more big men, and really – Steele is the only kid we graduate. We bring everybody back. Next year, I think we're going to see an amazing basketball product on the floor. This year, we've got some discovering to do. We need to find ourselves a little bit. But certainly going to be exciting to see them evolve over time. I don't know that there is much outside of the Tunsil story. I don't know that there's much to report on from a recruiting standpoint. As we've said for the past several weeks on the show, it's a finite number of spots that we have left. Every kid that we are looking at for those spots is the elite of the elite. You know, these are all four or five star kids for the most part. And I don't see us signing more than four, maybe five. So while we did have, and Kerry went through the entire list last week, it was an amazing list of talent that was on campus for that A&M game. I don't know that there's an awful lot to report on as far as nobody has come out and made a commitment. Nobody really has made any waves as far as changing the leaders or who they've got in their top two or top three or top four. It really is, we kind of stayed the course, and it was an exciting game for the young men to see and be a part of and see the environment, but nothing exciting came of it.
Well, listening to or reading most of the recruits' reactions, again, if you want to look at the silver lining in the cloud, the dark cloud that is the Texas A&M loss, almost universally everybody enjoyed their visit, and they spoke about the atmosphere and the environment. And in some cases, it was subtle things that always stood out to me. Well, we didn't win the game. We didn't get the result we wanted, but we played well, and I was blown away by the environment. So,
yeah. No, that's a good point.
So nothing to report saying, oh, person we've been recruiting is now for sure coming to Alabama, but definitely more signs to show that if Alabama wants you, Alabama has a good shot at getting you, I guess would be the way I'd put it.
Yeah. A reminder, 714-510-3707 is the number to call. I know that the chat room is also live and available if you want to jump in there. We do have one caller on hold, and let's go ahead and take that call now. Caller, you are live on BAMS Radio, and I think that I recognize this area code. Robert, is that you?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
What up, buddy?
How are you?
I'm no Zeke.
I know. Did you happen to watch the Alabama-Texas A&M game?
It was not a good day. I'm gonna be with baseball. I'm gonna be honoring you. I'm not telling you any profanity. I'm not gonna kick and dream. I'm gonna be low key, and I'm going to say the hell. I'm sorry for all of you listening there. I'm gonna say the hell with it. We gonna get him next time. I'm sure we gonna bounce back. We gonna nail Georgia. I'm sure.
Well, Robert, I know that a lot of our fan base could use a big dose of the calm and collectedness that you are bringing to the call tonight. So thank you for that. We need a big dose of it.
Brett.
Yeah, buddy.
If it's okay with you, can I be your musketeer, your dream musketeer, you, Tommy Watt, and myself?
The three musketeers. I like that. That sounds good.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay. So, Alabama, I'm sure Alabama gonna be, don't worry about Alabama. Alabama going to gonna bounce back, and we gonna bounce back. I'm sure we gonna get in that time. Unfortunately, top and tip game, I'm sure we might be in it. Don't worry, we might be in it, man.
I think you're right, Robert. I think there's a better than average chance that we will find ourselves in Miami if the cards line up the way we suspect that they will. You know what? We need to take Thomas. I think we're up against a break, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll Robert, since you're one of the three Musketeers, we'll hold you over through the break and come back, and we've got about 15 minutes, I think, before Legend comes on. So, Thomas, why don't you take us to break real quick, and we'll be back in just a minute. And you're listening to BAMS Radio.
Get ready for a touchdown of savings that will make you want to do your own end zone dance. With Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Unlike the chain furniture stores, Atlantic Bedding and Furniture gives the Bama fan a choice. In fine furniture at super low prices. We have over 30,000 items always in stock. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture will have exactly what you need for your rec room, man cave, or however you wish to celebrate that latest Bama victory. Our selection includes Simmons, Serta, Broyhill, and other name brands
at a fraction of what other chain stores charge.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture is close by in Pelham, Alabama,
on Highway 31.
Come see us or check out our website at www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com.
www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com.
Atlantic Bedding and
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. You have got Robert from Iowa, Thomas Watts, and Blip, the three musketeers of the remaining portion of Bama's season. Just want to remind everybody that the phone lines are open. We are expecting Legend for Legends Island later. So hopefully he will bring some interesting energy to the show. I think that I've been pretty good tonight about keeping the butt hurt to a reasonable minimum. But if you've got something and you need to get it off your chest, you're welcome to call the show, 714-510-3707. Hopefully you've got it plugged into your phone and you can just dial us right out of the address book. I don't know if you're as avid a reader of this website as I am, Thomas, but unfortunately, this was our week to be featured on RollBamaRoll.com's Meltdown Time. Of course, Meltdown Time for the uninitiated is the portion of RollBamaRoll where they take the lowlights from rival fans' websites after a defeat and take the message board material that is the most colorful and most laughable and post the highlights. So unfortunately, this was Bama's turn, and boy, we rose or sunk, depending on how you look at things, to the occasion. And a lot of profanity, but there is one that I want to read on the air that this struck me as side-splittingly hilarious. And amidst all of the profanity and the, oh, I'm going to hang myself, I'm so sad, yada, 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 the comment that made me laugh the most was, Gary Danielson is going to have to go to the hospital for an erection lasting more than 4 hours.
That's a good one.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was your usual, the George Carlin seven deadly words you're not allowed to say on the radio is pretty much littered through all of this. And unfortunately, not quite as creative or colorful as what some of our rivals have come up with. The one at the very end, really the only thing that is outside of the Danielson comment, the only other one that we could read on the air is, last week they were comparing us to NFL teams. This week they'll be comparing us to deadly STDs. I'm talking hardcore STDs that Pam Anderson wouldn't mess with. Roll, Bama, Roll, and Meltdown Time was unfortunate for Bama fans to have to read this week.
Oh, well, I mean, the loss stinks, but that, honestly, making a meltdown is generally pretty funny, so I can live with that part of it.
The Danielson comment was funny.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, we used to have a saying back in the Dubose and the Shuley years, and it was, Roll Tide anyway. And I've had to remind some of the Bama fans who I'm close to that really did go right up to the edge of the cliff and look over and consider jumping. You know, at least we're not Tennessee. At least we're not Auburn. At least we're not Kentucky. There are going to be a lot of schools in the SEC looking for a new head coach. You know, Arkansas, if you had told me, Thomas, prior to the season beginning, that there would be four schools in the SEC that would be shopping for a new head coach at the end of the year, I would have bet against that, I think.
I would have bet against Arkansas, and I probably would have bet against Auburn, quite honestly.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to sing Gene Chizik and Crew's praises, but to go from 8-5 to maybe 3-8 or 3-9, excuse me, that's a hell of a swing.
Well, it's we're at that point of the season that it starts to get interesting as far as the number of coaches who elevate the names elevate to that status of hot name. and we really haven't seen any names just catch fire. There are a handful of names being discussed for the Arkansas opening, and I saw an email today that indicated it was from somebody that's on the Board of Trustees at Arkansas, and it seems to indicate that they've got their man, that they know who they want to hire, they've extended the offer, terms have been discussed and agreed to. It's just a matter of getting everything finalized and going public with it. Now, who that man is, I have no earthly, but there's a lot of speculation that it's Patterson, which I think would be very, very interesting. We've got another caller on the line, and we'll go live to that. So, caller, you are live on the air with Robert from Iowa, Thomas Watts, and Blip on BAMS Radio.
744. 744.
Well,
it's the
legend.
Oh, hey, legend.
Legends early tonight. How about that?
Legends are early.
Well, Legend, we've got Robert that's going to be waiting in the wings to talk to you, and I'm sure that you have plenty to share with us tonight. So we're eager to delve into the sand on the island and hear what you've got to share.
Well, I'm upbeat tonight. I'm not down. I still believe in this team, still believe in this coaching staff,
you
and there's
know
a
it.
Lot of football left to be played.
Yeah, you know what? I'm never gonna give up on my team. Legend, you know me. I'm never gonna give up on my team. My team is roll damn tired, legend.
You down like a rodeo clown, brother. I know you're an Alabama man, Robert. I know. And me and you sat in that coaching booth up there at Bryan Denny Stadium, and you made that call. I knew then you was going to be an Alabama man forever. You was part of the family. You was adopted in.
Touchdown. Wave your hand like you don't care. Touchdown.
Well, your comments about supporting the coaching staff stuck with me because, boy, we are quick to judge as a fan base, and the number of people calling for a coach's head over this loss surprised me. I do put some of the blame for the loss at the feet of Nussmeier. But I certainly didn't feel like he should be let go from relieved of his duties as a result of it. But we had people calling for his head saying Nussmeier should be fired.
Well, I thought it was a very questionable call, but you know, if it succeeds, you look like a genius and AJ McCarron's a hero. But my thinking was first and goal at the 6-yard line with 2 minutes. Give me T.J. Yeldon and the best offensive line in the nation. And if you can stop me 4 times and not get to the end zone, I feel like you deserve it. But having said that, hey, man, we're still the best team in the nation. We ain't out of this, baby. And we have a good offense. Well, I mean, we just dug a hole Saturday 20-0. I mean, Ali come out, you know, he wasn't ready. Then Ken Norton jumped on his butt. You know, it happens sometimes. Ken Norton broke Ali's jaw. It happens sometimes. And, hey, Johnny Football's a real deal. Anybody who's seen that Saturday, you know. But, again, we went back and questioned the secondary at the first of the year. I know Bird questioned the secondary. I know some of y'all questioned the secondary. And over the last 2 weeks, the secondary has become a major problem for the University of Alabama.
Yeah, I have to wonder if where Robert Lester's draft stock is right now, because mid-season he looked like he was going to be a first-round lock, and he's been exposed a little bit. I don't think he's played himself out of the first 3 rounds, but I think that stock has maybe dipped a little bit in this past 2 weeks.
I kind of noticed that the first year, and I know Bird referred to this. And shout out to my boy Bird tonight. We've been praying for him. I know he's been under the weather, and I'm so happy. Is he on? Did I hear him when I come on? You there, Bird? You there?
No, Bird's ailing tonight, as is Carrie.
God, we need to pray for the Bird. We need the Bird. But
yeah, Bird the Word.
Bird the Word. We love you, Bird, if you're listening, baby. We love you. But, you know, we refer to the fact that if there was one problem with this secondary on the back end, it would be that it would be gullible to deep passes. And I think when you see Sensei, you see Lester, you see Ha Ha, these guys are basically strong safeties. But the one thing I think we lack on that back end is a safety able to cover the deep field and the 15 to 20 yard out passes. Sensei got burnt a lot. But at the same time, at the end of this is a young secondary. We go back and forget the fact that Kirkpatrick left. You know, we lost a lot of players. So I might move Milner to free safety if I was Alabama. That might be the answer right there. If you listen to Nick, the legend says move D. Milner to free safety and get that big child speed on the back end of that defense to cover them deep outs.
It might be Landon Collins.
That's not a bad idea. It's really not. I think that's the problem. We don't have that 4-4 speed on the back end of this defense. We have 4-5, 4-6 strong safety types, which are big-time players, but you still need that free safety 4-4 guy that you can't get over the top of. And I think Alabama lacks that a little bit on the back end of their defense. And I think coordinators are smart enough to expose that over the course of time, just like we exposed the Honey Badger last year in the national championship game. Now, the key to Alabama is, can they fix it? I think they can. This is still the best team in the nation to me. I still believe in this team. I still believe when it's all said and done, we'll stomp a mud hole in Auburn. We'll curb stomp Georgia. We'll go into Miami and play somebody that shouldn't be there, and we'll curb stomp them, and we'll raise number 15 in the air. Don't give up, folks. It's not a knockout. It's just a seven and eight count.
Nathan.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Do not let Dale talk to you. Do not let Dale hear you about that. We don't do play my hole on Georgia, huh?
A mud hole in that dog.
They
want to have a dog.
You know,
going to do a chihuahua when we get done with it.
Hey, Nathan, you know they want to have a field day.
A field day?
Yeah, you know, if Alabama win over Georgia, they want to be... Why, they're going to cry, baby. Really poo cry.
All right. Hey, AG. Who I got with me? I don't even
know.
You got
Blip and Thomas tonight.
Blip. There you are. All right, Blip. Hey, let me tell everybody about one of my advertisers tonight. It's Black Warrior Printing and Imaging. My good friend Michael, he does the best business cards in the nation. You can catch him down at 2529 University Boulevard. He's got 39-cent colored copies of anything you want copied. The baddest printer in town right on University Boulevard, my boy at Black Warrior Printing, Michael. Hey, but let me ask you this, Blip. Do you think Alabama's out of the national championship hunt?
Do I think they're out? No. Uh-uh. No. Somebody brought this up earlier. They pointed out to me that we actually, statistically, we are in better shape to get it into the championship game right now this year than we were at this time last year. And I sat there and I thought about it, and I said, you know, you're right. So let's dissect that. We'll talk about the ifs and buts and coconuts and all that. But let's go ahead and give Legend his proper introduction. We're going to take a break, roll the Legend intro. Hey, Robert, thank you for staying on as one of the three musketeers tonight. We appreciate you calling, Robert.
They just call me tomorrow or the other day, okay?
I'll do it, buddy. Love you, man.
I love you, too. Roll them tight, Dale. You roll them tight to you, Dale.
Thanks, Robert. We're going to take a break. We're going to roll the intro for Legend Island. We'll be right back.
Legend Island, Legend Island, Legend Island, Legend Island, Legend Island, Legend Island, the Mac Daddy of outlaw sports programs. If you want to talk Bama, Legend welcomes all island members with open arms.
Even if they are painted orange with feathers.
Join the ever-expanding crew of sports crazies who are regular visitors to the Legend Island.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday
night. On BAM's radio. And now, it's time for Legend, I Legend, I Legend, I Legend, I Legend.
Yes, welcome, America. Welcome, welcome to the island. The end is coming soon for Gene Chizik.
Legend, did you hear his press conference where some smart-ass reporter, towards the end of the press conference, they asked him, Gene, what do you make of the last episode of your coach's show being canceled? And he said, want to thank the production crew for all the hard work they did on the show this year, and don't make anything of it. Come on, dude, that's weak.
Hey, this was the real interview here. Gene, how you doing? I'm feeling fine. I'm good. My tape's falling apart, but I'm good. I got it. But, hey, I hope had a recruit this week claim that not only was Chizik's job secure this year, but he had it by good sources that Gene would be back next year. And it was one of the happiest moments of the week for me.
We should be so lucky.
Hey, I want to let everybody know that the intro tonight is sponsored by Bob's Bikes. I went by and seen my friend over there, Roger, this week. He's right there on the Montgomery Highway, right before you get to the Red Mountain Express. Got the coolest bikes in town. He's a BAMS listener tonight and a big fan of the show. Shout out to Roger. You got any kind of bike need, hook up with Bob's Bikes. It will be well worth it to you. Hey, but let me get into this. We was going to talk about it earlier, and I think it's really intriguing. Hey, Thomas, what's up tonight, boy? What's up?
Hey, how's it going, Legend? I'm glad to be back on the island.
Man, it's good to have you in Blip, man. That's feeling like old times tonight. Ain't it feeling like old times to you? It's feeling like old times out here on the island tonight. But, hey,
Wednesday night talking Bama, I'll take it.
Hey, brother, I'm still in love. I'm still in love. I just be honest, I love Alabama. I still love this team. I didn't get about it, TJ. The redemption was there. You know what I'm saying? He fumbled again. Now you got 6 yards. I mean, I should be coaching. That's right. If I hadn't gotten in trouble as a youth and went to prison, I would have been the coach, Sonny, and TJ would have gotten the ball 4 times. You better believe that, Nick Saban, even though I love you. I love you in the 80-foot statue. But anyway, I want to get into this a little bit because I really think Texas can beat Kansas State next weekend. I think the pressure will begin to build on Kansas State. I do not think they have the pedigree to be in a national championship game. I'd like to get your and Thomas' thought on this because a lot of people have not seen this team, and this is a very, very talented team offensively.
I wonder about Colin Klein's health. There was some question when he went out the week before if he was even going to play against TCU. And, of course, you've got, you know, the Herb Streets, the talking heads saying, listen, if Colin Klein doesn't play against TCU, it's going to be ugly. I wonder if he's going to be able to survive the whole season and stay healthy. And if this game against Texas, if that were in Austin, signed, sealed, and delivered, I just about guarantee it. Now, the fact that it's going to be at K-State, I think, gives them a shot to pull it out. But I think that's a very realistic shot. And Texas is on the upswing. Texas is playing its best ball of the season. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch them, but the young quarterback, Ash, is
a huge stage for Texas. I mean,
yeah.
Knock off a number one. I mean, it's almost playoff time now in college football. Every week becomes a playoff.
Well, and they've got a chip on their shoulder. You know, all season long, everybody's been saying Mac Brown's team is soft and, you know, they can't run the ball. Well, guess what? The running game has started to click. David Ash has really started to get it together as the quarterback of that football team. And they've, you know, Texas is always going to have weapons. They're always going to be talented. I think they're going in the right direction, and I think they could catch K-State right between the eyes. And Thomas mentioned earlier in the show, he said, you know, I just see USC scorching that soft Notre Dame secondary. I mean, all USC does is air it out. And it's not like they've just got one wide receiver that you can lock down and take care of it. They've got 3-4 options at the wideout position that if Barkley checks down and one option isn't open, he's going to have multiple tasty options to throw the ball to in that soft secondary. And I think USC is going to beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. The thing about USC, Lane Kiffin has really missed a golden opportunity. It's not every day that you get Matt Barkley, the number one overall pick in the draft, Marcus Lee, a top 10 wide receiver, maybe one of the best college wide receivers I have seen in a long time. And what's scary about it, they have a Marvin Harrison type and Robert Woods on the other side, who is also a top 10 NFL wide receiver. So you got 3 top 10 playmakers on that offense. And again, it goes back, these are playoff games and opportunities to redeem seasons going astray. I like USC over Notre Dame. I think it's a realistic, and I'm hearing rumors that Oregon is really banged up defensively, and Stanford seems to be the one team to kind of have their number, and Stanford is a grinded out with a great running back type of team, so there's still a lot of aces up the Alabama sleeve. I'd like to hear what Thomas has to say on it. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid with me and Blip tonight on the island, Thomas? I mean, what's going on, brother?
To a certain extent, I don't like Notre Dame versus USC in the Coliseum. Nelson Aguilar, who y'all didn't even bring up, if for some way that Lee and Woods get covered, Aguilar's put up numbers, and he's a young guy. So there are weapons all over the USC offense. Can the USC defense stop Notre Dame? I don't know. I think if there is a defensive coordinator in college that can put together a defensive game plan, I would give Monty Kiffin the nod for some of the things he's put into play throughout his career. But I agree with y'all completely on the USC-Notre Dame game. I'm not as high on the K-State going down to Texas thing. Yes, Texas is playing better football, but Colin Klein, that game's going to come down to Colin Klein. If Colin Klein plays at near anywhere close to 100%, K-State will win. He's just this almost Robert Griffin III-esque force, and the K-State defense is a pretty good group. And I'm sorry, someone in the chat said something. This is actually a question from the chat, question to both of y'all, and then I'll jump in at the end. What happens if all three teams lose? Because Oregon, you know, I think Oregon's going to lose a game because they've got three top 25 teams in a row. That's a tough road.
Well, it gets super interesting. ESPN creams themselves over the amount of content that they have simply discussing who should be in and who should be out. Because let's look at the BCS standings as they sit today. If K-State, Oregon, and Notre Dame all three lose, then you've got the winner of the Alabama-Georgia game that gets in. Florida has a very difficult matchup against Florida State, so you've got to think that it would be if K-State, Oregon, and Notre Dame all three lose, you've got to think that it's the winner of the Alabama-Georgia game versus the winner of the Florida-Florida State game.
Oh, my gosh. The planet would melt if the SEC cornered the national title game again.
It would be bedlam.
It would be classic. I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
Me too.
But hey, here's the thing. It's a lot of football. You can't even discount Baylor against Kansas State. You know, remember Iowa State, people. This is the time of year pressure will bust a pipe. I'm telling you now. It's a different level when you get 10-0 and they start talking about you the number one team in the nation and you don't have the pedigree or the mindset to really handle that kind of situation if you get hit in the mouth. And some of these teams do not have the pedigree and mindset to do it, I promise you. They do not have it. I mean, look at Oklahoma State, how they busted minus 35-point underdog to Iowa State last year and fell apart. Oklahoma State's on the way to the national title game. All they got to do is beat Gene Chizik's former team, who they're favored by 35 over. Pop, 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 go the weasel. I mean, pressure busts a pipe. This is big-time, big-boy football. It ain't over, Alabama people. I'm just telling you, sports. I've seen a lot of teams crumble at this time of the year. I've been a part of teams that crumbled.
Now, it's
we're the best. Yeah, we just got beat by 30.
It makes me sick to say this, but we all got to get on that Lane Kiffin bandwagon, y'all. That USC team has an opportunity to take care of not one, but two. They could knock out two of the obstacles.
They could put us in the national title game. USC
absolutely
could put us in the national title game.
And what people so easily forget is that at the beginning of the season, before we had played a single snap, before a down of football had been played, Bama Bird had us and USC playing in Miami. This is a USC team. We had number three in the country going into the season. Everybody said they were good enough to run the table and crush everybody. They're awesome. They're world beaters. It's been a disappointing season, but the talent is there. They have a very real shot at knocking down both Notre Dame and Oregon. And I tell you what, guys, if that occurs, if Alabama gets K-State in the title game,
Katie
bars the door. We will cream K-State.
Hey, I noticed that our donuts from Joe Donuts over in Pelham just arrived on the island. Coolest, best donuts in the nation just arrived on the island. Appreciate Joe Donuts.
Hey, I will second that endorsement. If you are ever in the right frame of mind, if you know what I mean, the maple donut from Joe's that has the maple glaze and the bacon on top.
God.
Forget about it.
Not the bacon. Bacon. Not the bacon. I love the bacon donut.
Man, that is the jam right there.
That's my girl Angie. Shout out to the most beautiful woman in the world, Angie Knight. That's her favorite donut from there.
For good reason. Well,
a donut with bacon. That's like Alabama with Nick Saban.
Everything you need right there. Well, here's everybody outside of Alabama's worst nightmare. K-State loses. Oregon loses. Notre Dame loses. Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. Florida State beats Florida. And guess who's sitting there at number 7 that could slink their way into Miami for the rematch of the rematch. LSU's sitting there at 7. And how bad would everybody's head explode if it's Alabama-LSU again in the championship game?
Well, it's a matter. This is a high-stake poker game, people. And right now, Alabama don't have as many chips. If you've ever watched Texas Hold'em on ESPN, and I'm sure you have because they show it 24 hours a day for some reason. But, I mean, if you ever watch, there's a lot of poker players around the table. Alabama don't have as many chips. But here's the key. We're Maverick. Don't discount the king. The football gods smile upon the king. Good God, people, they smiled upon us last year. If you're in God's favor, and I thank God every day because somehow the legend has made it this far, you should thank God every day. I thank God every day, along with thank you, Jesus, for Nick Saban. Thank God for Nick Saban and not Mike Shula. But I'm telling you, this ain't over, boys. It ain't over. It ain't over. Have a donut, Thomas. You agree with me, brother. I know you're preaching. Preach, Thomas. It ain't over. Don't give up.
No, it's not over. Alabama needs two of the three undefeated to fall. I think statistically you're looking at best possible thing is K-State Bama, and we've already said that K-State probably just doesn't have it against Alabama, but that's why you play the games.
Stomp K-State. Hey, Legend, are you ready to take a call?
Sure.
All right, I think we've got a caller on hold. Caller, you are live on the air on Legends Island with BAMS Radio. Who have we got tonight?
Hey, this is Marty from Gadsden.
Hey, Marty.
What's happening?
Have you recovered from Saturday yet?
I just woke up. I had to knock myself out the whole daggone weekend.
That was miserable.
Yeah, that was miserable. I couldn't drink enough Bama vodka. I tell you what.
Hey, that's some good damn vodka, too.
Oh,
well,
man.
What, you better be sitting down when you drink it, though. I bet you.
You know, have to sit there in the north end zone behind the goalpost with 4 Texas A&M faggies in front of me doing their little cheers the whole damn game. I mean the whole damn game. Doing that little stand up and they stick their arms sideways. Whee! I never understood the half of what they were saying. It's the gayest shit I've ever seen in my life. You know, I'm going to go to Texas A&M next year and I'm going to come up with some of the faggiest damn cheers. I'm going to stand up right in the middle of everybody and turn around and look at everybody and start doing them. That's how they did it. I wanted to beat slap that guy. My brother-in-law was with me, and he's got the worst temper of anybody I've ever seen. He said, I'm fixing to kill this son of a bitch right now. I'm fixing to kill him. I said, man, just settle down. Settle down. They're just having a good time. You know, but, you know, by the middle of that first quarter, you know, he was having to hold me back then because I was had it. I'd had it. I don't know if y'all experienced any of those guys, but, I mean, they just obnoxious of how their cheering went.
Yeah, what was bad, they was cheering outside the stadium for 2 hours before the game. And I met one or two cool Texas A&M fans, though. They were one or two cool, but I have to agree. They sung the whole time and cheered. They had some kind of cheer that lasted for a long friggin' time. They all knew it, too. It was like
one of them
line dances where at a country club or something, you know, and I was like, good God, they're even dancing while they're doing this, you know. Is the whole friggin' fan base a band or something? I'm like...
Well, let me jump in real quick. A few friends of mine go to Texas A&M, and I have probably seen at least five different shirts or different graphics of Texas A&M sawed them off, and it's an Alabama elephant as opposed to a Longhorn. And my simple plays, folks, I'm like, all right, congratulations. You got Alabama at home. Next year, you don't have two great tackles. Ryan Swope is no longer there, and Nick Saban has you opening up in the SEC. That is our SEC opener next year. Nick Saban does not lose two in a row to anybody not named Les Miles. So I'm going to remember this, and it's going to be game on.
Oh, yeah. You think this team is going to remember next year? You think we've got that one circled?
I mean, I'm completely with you, Marty. It was a great win for A&M. I give them all the credit in the world. But A&M didn't win the BCS championship. They beat Alabama after a really tough stretch. So, you know, aim a little higher, guys. Come on. Act like you've been there before.
Well, the bad thing about that, too, the guys had their T-shirts on, their little maroon T-shirts on, and on the back of it had the picture of A.J. McCarron crying. It says, "Don't cry, bro." Man, I had to sit there and look at that the whole stinking game. Now, I'm still upset about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Marty, you know what? As lame as all of that is, I still think the A&M fans are 100 times better than the weak fans from Sisters of Bama down the street who went out and celebrated Bama's loss by rolling the trees. That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life. Get a life, Auburn.
I heard War Damn Aggie, and I was just done. I was done with Saturday.
That killed me. That killed me, too. Hey, I got a card today, a Hallmark card, and it was the return address on it was Johnny Manziel. It was a Hallmark card telling me they were sorry for my loss, and several people signed it. It was from Five Star Drive, Big Al's Dead, Texas. It was sent to the legend. Our man had signed it. Tammy had signed it. Someone claimed to be Pat Dye had signed it. But they were celebrating the fact that they think the king is dead. The king is down. The king is over. But I'm still pumped. I want to beat the hell out of Auburn. I want to beat Auburn like 50-0. Then I want to take care of Georgia. And I'd like to get y'all's view on this Georgia-Alabama matchup. And do you think Georgia is a threat to this Alabama team in the condition that it's in right now?
No. No, I think that we played the best team that we're going to play all season outside of a possible Oregon matchup. I think Texas A&M was it, man. I think, and to be 100% honest with you,
the week before, didn't you, Blip? I mean, I watched him against Mississippi State, and I just kind of wrote it off that it was Mississippi State. But Johnny Football took Mississippi State apart. It looked like a Nintendo game out there.
Yeah, you know, you look at that schedule, and you go, how did this team lose two games? And it's neither one of their losses were blowouts. I mean, they had a chance to beat Florida down there in the swamp, and they were in it against LSU. They could have beaten either, you know, a couple of plays go a different way, and that's an undefeated A&M team that we got beat by. That's the best football team we play, and I think that the lack of wide receiver talent, I think they've got one or two guys that are playmakers, but outside of that, Georgia just doesn't have any kind of depth at wideout. So I think that, Kirby Smart and Nick will game plan for that. I think we'll be able to make – we'll be able to force Georgia into a style of play that makes them one-dimensional. And if Nick can make you one-dimensional, Nick's going to put his – he's going to wrap his hand around your throat, and he's going to squeeze until you got no air left. And that's exactly what I see happening in Atlanta. We're going to make them one-dimensional. We're going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And it may not be a pretty game. It may not be the way fans want to win. But I just don't see Georgia being able to man up. And unless we just have unprecedented injuries over the next 2 weeks, if we go into that game healthy, I think that we will manhandle Georgia.
Well, the thing about
Aaron
Georgia.
Murphy,
go ahead, Marty. I'm sorry.
Aaron Murray is no Johnny Midget, that's for sure. You know, I tell you what, Johnny Midget running around there, I've seen him disappear several times, and I thought, hell, the tides done took him out. Next thing I know, I see him riding on a wave coming out on the side, running down the sideline. I mean, you know, Georgia don't have that kind of capability like that, so I agree with you, Cliff. I believe Alabama has a good chance to match up with a team like Georgia a whole lot better than they did with Texas A&M.
Well, the thing about Georgia that I wanted to get out there is they have a lot of injuries in their wide receiver core. They had a guy go down with an ACL earlier this year. I think it's
Michael
Bennett. Thank you, Michael Bennett. And Marlon Brown, I believe, is the one that just got hurt.
Yep.
So they got their two best wide receivers gone. They still have Gurley and Marshall running behind a decent offensive line, but the 3-4 is built to stop a team that goes tries to one-dimensionally run. So I think Georgia is just – it's not a good matchup for Georgia. I don't think that they're going to be able to do what they did successfully, which was, you know, hit some passes – but primarily run the ball against Alabama. So I don't buy into Georgia playing that well in Atlanta. I think it could be a good game. I mean, they gave LSU a good game for, you know, what, 20 minutes last year before the Honey Badger was like, oh, I'm going to go win the game now. But I don't think they have the staying power. Love Jarvis Jones coming off the outside, but you know, Jarvis Jones keeps coming off the outside. Little inside trap negates that real quick.
Yeah, I like that. And I will say this right here. Georgia has underachieved a little bit. They got some talent on that team. But I'm with you. I really believe that Alabama can handle Georgia pretty easily. Hey, did I hear y'all right that Auburn rode the trees on Saturday after the Alabama loss?
Yeah.
You know, I got a friend, Brad. He owns Ace Tree and Landscape, and he's like a tree expert. And he told me one time that them trees would live if Auburn would stop throwing toilet paper at them and spraying them off, that the chances are they are actually going to save those trees. I mean, of course, Auburn needs to hire my boy Brad. He's like the big save of the trees, but, I mean, if he's an Alabama fan, that might be a problem. But, of course, Auburn, they probably their pride will kill them there. But, I mean, how sad is that right there? Don't that tell you how much we're hated? That's pretty hated right there. I mean, that's like hater ball right there. Hate, 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 hate.
I tell you what, it wasn't celebrating their 38-0 ass whipping.
What you got, Marty?
When you get beat 38-0.
I got a question from the experts tonight here. You know, down at the Plains, you know, you got the dead man walking down there. And who do you think that would really have enough, you know, gonads to actually want to come down there and coach that pitiful place down there? You think Jimbo Fisher, I mean, I work around with a bunch of Auburn people, and they're just so convinced that Jimbo Fisher is going to be their man. I'm sorry, I just have a hard time accepting that. He would leave a job like Florida State unless there's something going on we don't know about. But, you know, I just don't see that. What do y'all view on that?
Well, let me jump in real quick. The problem with Auburn comes down to a lot of perception. I go back and forth with an Auburn fan in the law firm that I work at. He obviously thinks Auburn's a good program, blah, 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 blah. But what he doesn't seem to realize is, and a lot of Auburn fans don't realize this, the media has been all over Auburn for the past 3 years, just, cavity searching that program. And even though they were proven not guilty by the NCAA, there's still that cloud of perception. Aside from the perceptions, you still have the Pat Dye, Jay Jacobs meddling thing that's been swirling for the past, 15 or 20 years, it seems. So I don't know who's going to take the job. Here's the way I'm going to answer your question, Marty. Scott Leffler got the job as offensive coordinator because whoever they were trying to hire, Auburn was trying to hire as OC, didn't take it. Gene Chizik got the job as kind of an oh crap moment, and aside from the national championship season, he's 23-37 overall as a coach. I don't know what big name Auburn's going to get. I think that they have the money. I think that they have the program tradition, but I don't know how much they're going to be able to escape this legacy of Auburn won a national championship 2 years ago, but they did it with a professional athlete at quarterback. I think that's something they just won't escape.
Well, I'll jump in on this too. There are a lot of folks out there, Marty, that $1 million a year sounds mighty nice to. I don't know about you, Marty, but I'd put up with a whole lot of bullshit if you were going to pay me seven figures. You give me $1 million a year, I'll catch your fart and paint it pink. So there's the yes, there is a stink around the program, and I think that anybody in the elite of the elite, they're not going to get a top 10 hire. They're going to have to hire somebody that is an empire builder, somebody that's willing to put in a 3-4 year plan and execute over time, because it's going to take time to fix it. Auburn's going to be down for a while, and anybody that believes that Auburn will be back contending for an SEC championship or a national championship in the next 4 years is delusional.
Well, let me jump in, Blip, and just say that I believe in Gene Chizik. I believe he can turn this thing around. I believe in you, Gene. I believe they ought to bring him back, give him at least 3 more years. I think Gene's got a solid plan in place, and I'm loving every second of it. I'm a Gene Chizik supporter, and I feel like you need to vote for Gene Chizik.
Wait, you mean his plan is to hire a security firm because he can't discipline his own team?
Hey, don't be talking bad about Gene Chizik. We want him to stay. We don't want him to go. We want him to stay.
So when Gene said in his press conference the other day, when Gene said that he had received hundreds of emails from fans expressing their encouragement and support, that was actually Legend leading a letter-writing campaign amongst Alabama
exactly.
fans.
Exactly. I believe in Gene. Hey, I believe in Gene. I believe in that big-nosed, porcupine-looking man. I believe in it. Hell, I believe in that defensive coordinator that looked like Uncle Rico. I believe in him. I believe in him, brother. I believe in him. You got to believe.
You know,
I say this right here, though. As much as we hate Auburn, and I do hate Auburn, it's still an SEC West, SEC school. And, I mean, if you could get the people out of there like Jacobs and Dye that you really need to get out of, there'd probably be some coaches interested in a job, I believe. I mean, you know Petrino would take it, but they're probably not going to go down that road now. But, I think they could get a coach, but I don't know if they're bright enough to get a coach. You know, there's a difference between getting a coach and, like Tennessee. Why would you go with Derek Dooley? I mean, the day he showed up in an orange pair of pants, I've been like, no, dude, this job's too big for you.
I am hearing that they're – I'm hearing there is mutual interest between both parties for Petrino to possibly take that Kentucky job.
Well, Petrino will take any job at this point. That's the point. I mean, that's why they might not go after him. But, I mean, Petrino wouldn't be a bad hire for Auburn. I mean, at least they'd have an offense in a year or two. Be more than what they got now. But you're right, this is a disaster. Not only is it a disaster, but it's also its program has fallen behind the Ole Misses and Mississippi State. You can't get to an Alabama until you begin to climb back over that ladder. Now you got A&M to climb over. You got LSU to climb over. I mean, Mississippi State on the rise, you got to climb over. I mean, that's a long road back for the Auburn Tigers. And I'm
legend,
loving every second of it.
Legend, I know you are plugged in. You get pretty quality stuff from the rumor mill sometimes. Have you heard anything? You got any juice on this story that Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy may be at play for the Arkansas job?
Not a bad move, I think, Gundy. Even though I'm 40, I'm a man. That's what really good to me, I'm 40. You know, I mean, the dude's still a good coach, you know. I mean, he kind of reminds me of my friend Gene Paul at Delta Pond. He's a real-life Pond star on the south side. I mean, he's got energy. I mean, and Gundy, I mean, it'd be a good choice. It really would be a good choice for Arkansas because basically Arkansas is another team traditionally known for great offenses and no defenses. And that's what Mike Gundy specializes in. He'd be a perfect fit for Arkansas.
Well, you know, the thing about Gundy is it wouldn't be a far move. The areas that Arkansas would like to recruit, Gundy is familiar with. I think Arkansas is going to be on the bleeding edge of, as the SEC pushes more into Texas, they're going to want those connections already made. So Gundy would actually be an interesting hire. He was able to sustain the success that Les Miles began at Oklahoma State. So I hadn't heard that name, but the more I think about it, the more it does make sense.
And you know that they'd back a dump truck full of money up to the man's front door. I think there are some – he's got a bad taste in his mouth from some of the frustrations with the fan base and the administration that carried over from last season with not getting tapped to take his team to the national championship game. I think that Mike felt like if he had been at an SEC school, he'd have been in. And he wants a little bit of that juice. He wants the opportunity to jump into the SEC and prove his mettle against the best of the best. So I'm hearing Patterson and I'm hearing Gundy right now, and I think Gundy makes a hell of a lot of sense. I mean, Arkansas had kind of propped themselves up at the table and made themselves comfy at that number three in the SEC West slot. There was a clear pecking order. You had Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas as a clear number three. Now that Texas A&M's come sniffing around, all of a sudden Arkansas as a clear number three doesn't shake out so clean. So they're going to have to do something big to assert themselves and get back in that conversation, and hiring Mike Gundy might just do that.
Hey, let me tell you guys, something big in Birmingham right quick. The Wings are just now arriving on the island from Wing Out Sports Grill. They're located at the old Grumps location on 3rd Avenue South. These are the best friggin' wings in the nation. I'm talking about in the nation. Holler at my friend Derek down there. Hey, they got a legend special on the menu. That's right. I got a meal named after myself. I love it. But, hey, check out Wing Out Sports Grill. The wings are just arriving on the island. Y'all grab a few wings. And let me throw this question out to the panel tonight. We're talking on BAMS Radio Legend Island. Shout out to the bird, the president tonight. He's still under the weather fighting. He's our champion. Hanging out with Blip, Thomas Watts. You can still get in. Marty's still with us. 714-510-3707. But I want to throw this out to the panel tonight also. What is the mindset of this Alabama team moving forward? Is this a team now determined to pick itself up, Is this a team to press? What is the mindset of this Alabama team in your view as we move forward?
Before we get into that, I think Marty had a quick point, so I'm going to give Marty a chance to get his point out. What you got for us, Marty?
Well, I was just going to make a couple of comments and then get off here and listen to y'all guys. But you know,
absolutely.
You know, the coaching situation is, you know, I'd have to rank those openings in the SEC for the coaches. I'd have to rank Tennessee being the best coaching job, Arkansas next, Auburn, then Kentucky. I don't know what y'all feel about that. And this kind of what I was going to say, kind of going back to what Legend just mentioned about the mind frame of the team going forward. You know, if everything falls in place like we hope it does and happens a good chance to, I think the loss of this game, as much as I hate to lose a stinking football game, and that shows you how far Alabama has really come now. We're back to where we used to be, where when Bama loses a game, it's just so epic. I mean, it's just this whole state's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I'm glad we're back to that point. But the loss of this game really, in the long run, could help this team. It could wake this team up. It could give that team that passion back now that they need, that the hunger they need to get back to play an Oregon or a Kansas State or somebody like that if they get in that title game. And I think it'll help them play against Georgia. I think it woke up the whole program. And, you know, I'll just, you know, get off here and I'll listen to y'all guys comment on that. I appreciate everything y'all do for Bam's Radio, man, and roll damn tide.
Roll tide,
hey, Marty.
We
appreciate you tonight. We really do. And I'll comment on what Marty said, and then y'all jump in also. But I kind of think, I have to agree with Marty, I think this is a team determined. You know, a wise man once said that the seeds of success are sown in defeat. You know, sometimes you have to lose to be woken up. I mean, that's not only in football, but in life. Sometimes you have to be slapped in the face. You ain't everything you thought you was. Here in the last few months, I figured out the legend. I mean, he ain't as bad as I thought he was. You know what I'm saying, Blip? I mean, it's a reality check sometimes. But if you grow from it, the seeds of success can be sown in failure. And that's the great thing about sports. You have a time to redeem yourself. And if we drag Auburn 50-0 and beat Georgia 38-0, I really think even if all them other teams win, they'll probably put us in the national championship game. We're the money. We're the big draw. Nobody wants to see Ken Norton. They want to see Muhammad Ali blip.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think the timing of, and let's face it, the opponent we have this Saturday is the epitome of cupcake. You know, Western Carolina doesn't strike fear into anybody. And I think that's going to give us a nice opportunity to see some of the backups, the second and third team kids, play more minutes. I think it's going to be good for us to rest some of the horses. I think that, you know, AJ isn't 100%. I think that bruise on his knee is still bothering him a little bit, even though every interview he says, now the knee's fine, I feel good. I think he needs a little rest. So we're going to go 100% against Western Carolina for two quarters, and then we're going to see the Philip Ely and Blake Sims show. We're going to get to see some of Drake running the ball. I think we're going to see some passes go Marvin Shin's way and Danny Woodson's way. You know, we're going to get into that depth, and that's good, which will prepare us, you know, get healthy, get our mind right for Auburn. And I think everybody on the show tonight and everybody listening is in agreement with me on this. I will not be satisfied with anything less than a 60-point victory. I want to take them behind the woodshed and beat them until there's nothing left of their face but a bloody mess. And I think that's possible. You know, what an honor for Jim Chizik to be the first coach.
Gene, not Jim.
No, it's Jim. I think you got it wrong. Jim Chesnick. What an honor for him to be the first ever coach to finish seventh in the SEC West. Nobody's ever done it before. It's an
He's
amazing
accomplishment.
He
like
is
Gene.
The man.
I
think that a big victory, and I hope I've seen there have been some right shitty responses from Alabama fans after the loss. I mean, downright bratty. But there's also been some steel that has been shown from the Alabama fan base, and we need that steel to rise to the top. We need the Alabama fans to come out in force and be every bit as charged up and as emotional as we were in Bryant-Denny against Texas A&M. We need to bring that same thunder for the Auburn game, for the Iron Bowl. We need to be there and support the team. We need to send them to Atlanta with as much crimson momentum as possible. You got to get out there, folks, and you got to yell from your toes all the way up and get it all out there, because we need that momentum and that energy. We need to rest up and get healthy. We need to absolutely kick the shit out of Auburn, and then we need to go to Atlanta and take care of business. And that's, you know, the Georgia game is all about, you know, we're going to take a page out of the Elvis playbook. It is all about taking care of business. We're going to have a fairly straightforward game plan, I think. You're not going to see a lot of razzle-dazzle. That's not Alabama. It's going to be line up, take care of your assignment, play clean football, go out there and execute, make Georgia one-dimensional, and I think we'll win handily. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think it's ever going to be in question. I think we're going to take care of business and deal with Georgia, and then you know what? Whatever else happens, happens. Wherever we end up, whether it's Miami or New Orleans, we don't have control over that. And I think right now what Coach Saban and Coach Smart and Coach Nussmeier, what those gentlemen are preaching in the locker room is, guys, we got to deal with what we have control over. You have control over Western Carolina. You have control over the results of what happens against Auburn. You have control over what happens in the Georgia Dome. Anything else is bullshit. Forget it. Don't look up at the scoreboard and worry about what's happening in the Coliseum with USC. Don't worry about Texas. Don't worry about K-State. Don't worry about any of it, because it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what happens here in Bryant-Denny Stadium on Saturday.
Pass the offering plate. Preaching tonight. I love it. Hey, let me get this out there. They got the big Row Tide War Eagle Bash going on down at Work Play Tuesday night. They are calling it the Tide Tiger Blowout. I mean, something like that. But anyway, Work Play is a really cool place. Fine Bomb, all them guys going to be down there Tuesday night. Bams has been invited. Blip, Thomas Watts, y'all want to go down to Work Play Tuesday night. Bam's been invited. Got all the jocks' personalities going to be there. Work Play, my friend Tommy Williams. If you ain't never visited Work Play, you need to. It's a must-see place in the state of Alabama. But, hey, let's go to break, Blip, and play a couple commercials and get ready to make our last run home. How about it, my friend?
Sounds good. Thomas is going to cue us up, and we'll be right back on BAMS Radio. We'll be right back.
Why be a Monday morning quarterback when you can listen to BAMS Radio any day of the week? Get your podcast at BAMS Radio anytime right here at BAMSRadio.com.
So, what makes BAMS Tailgate so darn special?
Sunbelt Inflatable Tents can supply you with custom-designed tents for your tailgate needs. Corporations, businesses,
or just the most hardcore fans are the customers of Sunbelt Inflatable Tents.
Reach them at their website, www.sunbeltinflatabletents.com, and ask for Billy, or call 251-247-1169 to order.
The FCC can add all the teams at once. We're still number one.
Roll Tide!
This is BAMS Radio.
Welcome back to BAMS Radio. You are smack in the middle of Legends Island. We got Thomas Watts, Blip, and the man, the myth, the legend himself. And Legend, you were talking about work play, and I want to, this is unsolicited, by the way, they're not paying me to do this, but I'm looking at the calendar for work play and the upcoming concerts. You're right, it is a sweet place to see a concert. And coming up on, it's a Monday night, which is kind of weird, you know, for a big concert on a Monday night. But on Monday night, the 19th, they've got The Sword with Gypsy Hawk and Eagle Claw. And if you hadn't seen The Sword, man, this is the best heavy band to come out since Ozzy. They are awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you don't have anything better to do and want to go see some wicked rock and roll, go see The Sword at Work Play on Monday the 19th. There's still some tickets available, and that I've seen them a couple of times. That's a good one.
Yeah, Work Play, if you're into music, I mean, it is becoming the must-see place in Birmingham. Nashville has many venues for music. Birmingham is poor, poor. I mean, you got Cafe Firenze on Highway 280. My boy Yance out there, that is an outstanding place on the Inverness Parkway if you ever out that way. But I'm telling you, Work Play downtown, I mean, it is a must-see for anybody that's into music in the Birmingham area. I didn't realize the recording studios and all that is a part of that complex. It is a music mecca. They got some big events coming up down there, too. Hey, but before we left, we were talking about different things, about the attitude of the team and different things. And I just kind of think that considering what's still at stake, this has to be a team that's angry. It has to be a team that's mad and ready to rip somebody apart. I just don't see this team falling into pity. I see this team rising to the occasion, my friend.
Well, I think there's a lot of senior leadership or a lot of upperclassmen leadership on the Alabama football team. I do think, and this has been said a couple of times tonight, and it's kind of a prevailing opinion, that some Bama players started reading their press clippings a little bit and got a little complacent, and that's what happened when Texas A&M came to town. That came back and bit them. I think that you're absolutely right, Legend, in that the seeds of greatness are sown in defeat. And I expect a focused team, and not just a focused team, like everybody involved, staff members, everybody, to take the loss, own the loss, and come out and play with a completely different mindset, a different level of purpose. Because, it, like I said, there's a lot of senior leadership on the team. And now I think Alabama, again, has something to prove, in at least in their own minds, because they're catching a lot of heck from the fan base and from the national media, who were so high on them 2 weeks ago. You know, they could beat the Chiefs. Now they're just – they got Johnny Football, and that's a pretty big change, and I think that's actually a big help for Alabama psychologically.
Yeah. All of a sudden they're mortal. You know, they went from being unbeatable and nobody can hang with them to all of a sudden, oh, they're, you know, that's a Texas A&M made them look pedestrian and they can be beaten. You got to go back to the core, and that's where Saban is a genius, because even in defeat, Saban wins. He goes back and he's already established in these young men a core platform that when you've got to break it back down and say, okay, we're starting over. We're going to build this thing back up from scratch. What have we got to work with? All the raw materials are there to turn this thing around and say, you know what? We are championship material. We are the most talented football team taking the field in any stadium in America. We've got some things we've got to work on. And as all of us know from your professional career, when you stop learning, you stop earning. And that's true in football. When you stop learning, you stop earning. And we've got to go back and revisit a lot of things. We've got to go back and learn from the loss, and we will do that. There's no question in my mind we will do that.
I was talking to one of the top criminal lawyers in the state of Alabama today, Rolando Rankin. They call him the Johnny Cochran. I mean, it's in the criminal system. The guy's great. It was an honor to meet him. He's a BAMS radio listener tonight, and shout out to him. But he was telling me about he was a big Colt fan, and the Colts never would adjust to the fact they really had a poor defense that never really completed their team and prevent them from winning championships. I think what the Alabama fan base has to hold on to, Nick Saban is a genius of putting together a complete team. This program is in place to win several championships in the years to come, regardless if we don't get there this year. Stay on the boat. Don't jump off the boat. The water gets a little rough sometimes. The storm comes, but stay on the boat. And make sure all them hole punchers like Jim from Tuscaloosa and them kind of folks never get on the boat. Just hold on, Alabama. Hold on. It's going to be all right. Listen to the legend. It's going to be all right.
3 weeks ago, we were talking about A.J. McCarron as a Heisman finalist. 2 weeks ago, you know, two weeks ago, we had A.J. for sure in New York. Now A.J.'s out of that conversation, and it's going to, you know, a lighting Georgia on fire and pulling us through to a big major victory in the championship game in Atlanta could put him back in that equation. But I don't think there's any doubt, even amongst the biggest homers, there's no doubt in our mind that A.J. would benefit from coming back, that if he went into the draft, it would be premature, and that he really ought to come back for his last year of eligibility. What do you think about that, legend?
I think A.J. would come back. I don't think A.J.'s ready to go to pros. I think the Alabama team looks very promising next year. When you think about T.J., you think about Amari Cooper. Yes, we'll lose a lot on the line, but we'll have the Cyrus and Aries. They'll team up for the first time. I think you'll have Kellen Williams at center. I think you'll have another. Let's see. I can't think right offhand, but still, you'll have a solid line there in place at Alabama. And I'm excited about the future of this team. I think the defense will take another step forward next year too, with the Xavier Dixons, them kind of players with another year up under their belt. Trey DePriest, you know, even D. Milner, even, you know, John Felton. I mean, there's just a lot of players out there that need to take a next step. And I think this time next year, Landon Collins, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix ought to go to another level. So I'm very excited. You know, I'm like y'all. I can't wait to get at Texas A&M. I'm almost ready for next season to start now. You know, that's, somebody beats you, you'll go beat their ass. That's just the way it is, you know. We got revenge on our mind, and I think we'll lay it to them next year. I have to agree. I thought Thomas broke A&M down next year great. When you lose Matthews and the other big tackle, it starts with a J. It's losing me at the
Jockle.
It was Mama Vodka from the Pink Package Store tonight here on the island. But, I mean, then you lose Swoops, so that's a lot. Then you're probably going to lose Michaels too, your big bruiser out of the backfield. So that's a lot of talent to lose.
It will be interesting. We are crazy to try and find positives in the loss, but if I'm going to take any positive out of that loss, it's for me, it pretty much locked AJ into coming back. I always, even amidst the Heisman hype, I felt like he would be better served coming back, but there's starting to be that little tickle in the back of the dialogue that, you know, maybe AJ's going to test the waters and go into the draft. I don't think there's any question now. I think he's for sure coming back. And championships can be built around one dude. You know, we saw that with Cam Newton, where he pretty much willed that Auburn team to a championship. And you've got to think that if we don't get in this year, that if Bama doesn't get a shot, that AJ comes back next year super motivated, razor focused on one thing and one thing only: winning another ring. We would love to hear from you and your thoughts. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things tonight, but we've got another half hour or so to take your phone calls. 714-510-3707 is the number to call if you want to call in and give us a shout out. Kept it reasonably on the level tonight as far as the whining. Really tried to focus on the positives and focus on the future. Thomas, I don't know if you even bothered to do a breakdown on Western Carolina. Is there anything worth mentioning on our opponent for this Saturday, or is this pretty much a sacrificial lamb on the schedule?
I did a breakdown. There isn't really much to say, though. Western Carolina is on a 9-game losing streak. They have a decent offense. They score. They have 25 points a game, something like that. Very balanced run-pass mix. They're averaging like 174.2 yards passing and 174.6 yards rushing. But the problem is the defense. This is an FCS team. It's not a highest level of college football. This defense is one of the worst defenses in the FCS. So, you know, you can extrapolate that as far as you want. They have one guy on their defense that might actually get some looks in the NFL. His name is Rock Williams. He leads the team in tackles. If there's a leader on the squad, it's him. But it's so flagrantly a mismatch. If you sit down and actually look at stats compared to each other, just putting all of Alabama's stats next to all of Western Carolina's, Alabama's scoring more. They have more first downs. They've gained almost 1,000 more yards this year. They have less penalties. They're better on third down. They're better on fourth down. Their defense is, I mean, you see where I'm going with this. There is not a stat that I can find that's even slightly relevant to football outside of, you know, number of nachos that this team has consumed in the past 2 days that makes me think this game is going to be anything but a very high number for Alabama versus a very low number for Western Carolina. It's just such a horrible mismatch. Every time this team has played an FBS team, they've lost by at least 40. So you said two quarters a bit ago, Blip, that the Alabama starters would play. I think it should be sort of like two series, because there's almost no point in the experienced guys playing. Don't even make them dress unless they're seniors. Just let them go out there, score a couple of touchdowns, get a little workout, and then sit them down to rest them.
So what you're saying is we should expect the white kid to get some carries at running back.
If I was still a student at the University of Alabama, they would probably give me carries. This team is so bad.
Hey, Thomas, let's go to a break. I got to go use the restroom, the head here. But, hey, make sure you play Atlantic Furniture. I wanted to shout out my friend Kyle Cotton. I rode down to the game with him on Saturday and his son, and got to hang out with him, introduce a lot of people to him over Atlantic Bedding and Furniture. A real cool guy and a true Alabama fan. If you ever have any furniture need, there's no reason to go anywhere else other than Atlantic Bedding and Furniture. But, hey, can we run to a break, and then I'll run back right quick.
Absolutely. Here we go. We'll be right back on BAMS Radio.
Get ready for a touchdown of savings that will make you want to do your own end zone dance. With Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture.
Unlike the chain furniture stores, Atlantic Bedding and Furniture gives the Bama fan a choice. In fine furniture at super low prices. We have over 30,000 items always in stock. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture will have exactly what you need for your rec room, man cave, or however you wish to celebrate that latest Bama victory. Our selection includes Simmons, Serta, Broyhill, and other name brands at a fraction of what other chain stores charge. Atlantic Bedding and Furniture is close by in Pelham, Alabama,
on Highway 31.
Come see us or check out our website at www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com.
www.AtlanticBeddingAndFurniture.com.
Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, the place to shop for great furniture deals with financing available.
Thomas, if I recall correctly, Texas A&M is actually closer to Houston than Dallas. But thank you. Thank you so much for pouring salt on that open wound. That was nice of you.
You're welcome, I think. I get the feeling I won't be running the board anytime soon, but that's okay.
You're doing good, bro. We appreciate you. We need to revamp the Legend Island music. We really do. I need to get more in tune with what the Legend loves. Rock and roll! But I love it, man. Y'all do a great job. I appreciate you guys so much. I want to give a shout-out tonight, too, to my friend Todd down at Levy's Fine Jewelry. He's one of the BAM sponsors. Antique Jewelry, the coolest jewelry store in the nation. Been down there since the 20s. My old friend Todd over at Levy's. You got any kind of need, a wedding, any kind of need like that this Christmas, make sure you check out my friend over at Levy's Fine Jewelry on 2nd Avenue North right here in Birmingham. But, hey, I wanted to get y'all guys' opinion. We're recovering tonight, Alabama Nation. We're in recovery. And a lot of people are down. I've been kind of down this week and thinking about the Alabama team, but at the same time, I'm still excited. I still believe in this football team. Don't give up. But I want to get y'all guys' opinion while I got you on the air tonight about the Alabama basketball team. Oh, yeah, a big shot at the end of the game. Some folks criticized Alabama for charging the court after the game. But Trevor Lacy with a game winner. What's y'all's view on the basketball team? Do we have hope this year in the SEC? And are we a threat nationally?
I love my Crimson Tide hoops, Legend. I drive you batshit crazy with it sometimes.
We can talk about it.
I have to temper my expectations. I got to temper my homerism with a little dose, a little shot glass full of reality that you don't lose your top two scorers. You don't lose a Jamichael Green and a Tony Mitchell and not feel it a little bit. I'm excited for the prospect of what this team can grow into, but emphasis on the grow. We've got a lot of growing to do. I think it's going to take time for us to find a rhythm as far as the right chemistry of who is playing with who on the floor and what matchups are best for the Tide. We're going to lose some games this year, guys. Let's be honest. I think we're going to have a hard time getting to 20. I think we can get to 20 wins, and a 20-win season for Alabama ought to put us in the tournament. And by the end of the year, you know, we may see a young Devontae Pollard grow into something special. We may see Nick Jacobs come into his own and become a man-child under the basket. We may see some of those seven-footers. You know, Carl Engstrom and Musa Gay could evolve into a real shot-blocking force underneath. But we need a lot of those things to happen for us to be able to stand toe-to-toe with some of the big boys in college basketball. We are not entering the season a guaranteed spot. We're going to have to earn it, and it's going to take a hell of a coaching job by Coach Grant. It's going to take evolution by some of the young guys. It's going to take Trevor Lacey stepping up and turning into the player that we all hope that he can be. He certainly looked like it. We saw a little bit of that sparkle the other night when he put the dagger in with the three-point shot at the buzzer. You know, he's putting the ball in the bucket, and that's what we brought him to Alabama to do. But we need Randolph to step up and start making some shots. We need Cooper to step up and start making some shots. He's got to have a supporting cast. It can't just be the Trevor Lacey show, because if it is just the Trevor Lacey show, teams will figure out a way to box him in, shut him down, and that's it. Alabama's got to have scoring outside of Lacey, and we need. I think Relaford's doing a nice job running the point. But he's got to put the ball in the bucket, too. We need him to be a slasher and driving the lane, getting in and creating opportunities and getting to the stripe. You know, we need Relaford shooting free throws because the driving has created fouls. We've got to keep people in free throw trouble, in foul trouble on the other side. All of that comes from coaching. This is the season where Anthony Grant has an opportunity to prove his mettle, to show that he is worthy of being in that conversation of the elite coaches. And I think that he will step up and do just that.
Thomas, what do you think, my brother?
Well, I think at this point, Anthony Grant, the lion's share of the team are his recruits that have been in his system for at least a year. I'm with Blip, losing J. Mike and Tony Mitchell, that'll be felt. But I think the sky's the limit with this team. I think 20 wins is a very good goal. The way Alabama wants to play is going to be this, make the game really dirty, you know, 55, 60-point games where a dagger from a Trevor Lacey could turn the tide, such as it were. And I think that'll happen a lot of the time. I think Alabama has shown early on that they're willing to go small with four guard lineups. And generally when a team goes small, there's so much quickness on the floor that you get some transition. You do lose something on the offensive glass, but you get some transition shots and you get some fluky, crazy, let's run up and down the field, run up and down the court a lot type environment, which plays into Alabama's hands. Alabama's an athletic team. I think they've got a good shot to make a lot of noise in that second tier in the SEC under Kentucky for sure, and Florida has looked strong in the first couple of, you know, the first week. But Alabama's right there, and basketball is one of those sports where if the ball bounces the wrong way, Alabama can sneak out a win that they shouldn't get, much more than in football. I think Alabama's a bubble-type tournament team right this second if the NCAAs were decided today, but it really depends on the coaching job. I'm with Blip on that. It's still a young team. If he coaches them, you definitely know that Alabama's got a winner on multiple fronts next year, when these guys, particularly Devontae Pollard, have been in the system for a year, look out. This team will make some noise, that's for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. I really evaluate and respect both of y'all's opinion. I'm going to hold off judgment on this team. I still think when you talk about Relaford and Lacy and Randolph and Cooper and Jacobs and Pollard, that's a lot of talent. And at the end of the day, if you got that kind of talent, I mean, let's face it, he had took Virginia Commonwealth teams with a lot less talent than this a long way in the NCAA tournament. Got a chance to meet Coach Grant this year. I was impressed with him. Got a chance to take a picture of him. He's a real humble guy. But I'm going to hold off judgment on this. I still think this can be a very good team. Hey, talking about a great team, let me tell you about my friend Bruce at Alabama Axle Specialist down on 1526 24th Street in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Bruce is the axle specialist. This dude is off the hook when he got any kind of axle needs. He also deals in drive shafts, brakes, ATVs, four-wheelers, any kind of repair you need on those kind of things. Bruce is the man. Check him out at Alabama Axle Specialist. I'm going to say this. Trevor Relaford has to become Chris Paul. And I've said this for a long time. He has the ability. This is a guy that put up 20 in a game last year, I remember, when he had to do it. And I agree, he has to take steps with this team. I think the talent is definitely there. I was not impressed with Kentucky. Was y'all impressed with Kentucky at all?
Well, Coach Cal is going to put a quality product on the court. Whether they're young or not, it's not last year's Kentucky team.
No,
this is not a team
This
is not a team that we can just hand the championship to and say, well, there are a very small number of teams that can hang with last year's Kentucky team. I think there are a lot of teams in the country that will be able to hang with this year's Kentucky team, and whereas last year they were a juggernaut, this year they're going to have to be scrappy. They're going to win a lot of games. Because that's just he recruits at the Nick Saban level. Nick's going to win a lot of the games just because of the talent that he puts on the field. Same thing for Calipari. But it's going to be a beatable team. And you know what? They will have to contend with an up SEC. I think that Mizzou brings a very, very good basketball program into the conference this year. I think Vandy's going to be good. Florida's going to be a damn fine basketball team this year. If Alabama catches the right breaks and the right chemistry, I think you're going to see a very, very scrappy Alabama team. You know, I was initially disappointed. The media had ranked the SEC and they had Alabama sixth, and I was you know, kind of down in the mouth about that. I went, ooh. Sixth? Really? Jeez, wow. I kind of felt disrespected. But then I looked at it, and I looked at who they had ahead of us, and I thought, well, maybe sixth is appropriate. I think a lot of people give Kentucky that Kentucky bump. And out of respect for where they're coming from, they probably have earned it. But don't be surprised at all to see Kentucky lose some games, you know, maybe three or four games early in the season and fall out of that top 10. Wouldn't be surprised at all to see our boys go toe-to-toe with them and possibly beat Kentucky this year. But we're going to have our hands full with that SEC schedule. There are a lot of quality opponents. You know, there are a couple of schools that are down. Let's face it, we ought to absolutely dominate Auburn this year. I think Mississippi State is down this year. I think Arkansas is going to be up this year. So a lot of interesting games on the schedule, a lot of interesting out-of-conference games on the schedule. But we've got a whole lot of work to do to get this team where they need to be to really be championship quality.
We're here on BAMS Radio tonight, and, I mean, you listen to the blip, we're talking Bama basketball, we're talking Bama football. That's what it's all about. It's all BAMs all the time. Hey, Thomas, let's get ready to go to another break if you want to, and then it ought to be the last little bit of overtime left of the show.
Well, we actually only have about 4 minutes left now, so we scheduled it to go for 2.5 hours.
I knew we was close.
So we can go on.
I'm going to let you guys take it on out and see what y'all want to do with it, but just let me give a shout-out to the most beautiful woman in the world, Angie, and superstar Ava, and the next great defensive tackle at the University of Alabama, Hayden. And, hey, guys, appreciate hanging out with you guys tonight. Love y'all. Y'all done a great job. Shout-out to Bama Bird. We're praying for you. Hey, guys, Legend finna catch the plane off the island. Y'all on your own. Swim for it. Swim for it.
Nanu, nanu.
Yep. Night, Legend.
Oh, man. Couple minutes left in the show, Thomas. Appreciate the breakdown. Not that breaking down Western Carolina was a tough task. I mean, you could have just summed it up and said, yeah, we're going to beat that ass. But good insight from you tonight, looking at the weekly opponent breakdown.
I'll do something more fun for Auburn, I promise. I haven't figured out how I'm going to make fun of Auburn in my breakdown, but there will probably be references to Cheez-Its, the snack food, and Eagles plowing into windows, but it'll be good.
Yeah, didn't the mascot Eagle take off and leave the stadium and not come back a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. I think Kyle Frazier went to throw a roll of toilet paper into the Tumors Oaks and accidentally threw it to an opposing team's DB. So
I thought you were going to say he hit the Eagle and took him down.
That would have been good, too. He might have done that. Who knows? He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he tried.
That would have been the greatest thing ever. Wow. If you really want a good time on Twitter, just follow our friend HT4. HT has been a veritable wealth of anti-Auburn funnies this past couple of weeks, and it's only going to get better the closer we get to the Iron Bowl. I meant what I said earlier in the show, by the way. I hope that the Alabama Nation rises up, supports our boys in these last two home games. I think we need it. I think that they need to see that we are not a bunch of fair weather guys, and that we're not going to abandon our support of the team just because we're not undefeated any longer. I know that Legend and Thomas are with me on that, and it seems counterintuitive to have to say it, to have to kind of rally the fan base, but damn it, guys, get out there and show your love of the Crimson Tide. That's why you listen to BAMS Radio. That's why we bleed crimson. That's why we get obsessed about every gory detail of recruiting. That's why early signing day for basketball is a big deal for us, because we bleed crimson. Definitely check in with ibleedcrimsonred.com, because Dave always has good insight. And want to thank all of our sponsors of the show that make this possible for us to get on the air and flap our gums for an hour and a half or 2 hours about the Crimson Tide. We will be back next week after we've beaten the stuffing out of Western Carolina and have some interesting insight for you for Auburn. As always, for Thomas Watts, I am Blip. Roll Tide. We're going to roll a little music and sneak out the back door, and we'll see y'all next Wednesday.